His life is on the line.
Yes, he is on the line, the first line. Mm-hmm. So if we consider the Nepalese, maybe they are more closed than they are not so open mind like the Fijian, for instance. They are very well loved, but all the activity are led by all the official activity. Then you have, of course, the man, the soldier who helps the old woman to cross the road.
Yeah.
And this is also humanitarian because yeah. it's very close to the. But then you have the official activity, which is managed by the humanitarian officer of the battalion,
yeah.
coordinated by the humanitarian. We help, we provide medicine, for instance. Mm-hmm. We provide. But most of all, there are different policies. For instance, the Norwegian, I know, for because you know, I'm here since a long time. I know that they prefer not to give, but to help.
Right.
To, mm-hmm. To do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is their policy. They don't
yeah.
want to give assistance, but they want to help.
Train them.
Train
to
them
take care of
to
themselves.
To take them to organize.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all, to organize.
Yeah.
This is what their policy, but maybe it has been changed since I was there. But
mm-hmm.
this is the help that we provide. It's a big. I can tell you that according to what I hear on the ground, it's a big help.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big help.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
can give them a lot, and they accept as a. They love us.
Mm-hmm.
As I told in the presentation, it's a. This is. Because we are very close to them,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have any political interest in the area.
Okay, right.
This is,
yeah.
This is they know that the Nepal is there, long way from the Fijian. They have not there. There are no political. There are no interest, personal or national interest in the area. The only interest is to help them.
Yeah.
And they know this. Even the people of the road, the not the leader.
Yeah.
Most of all, the people, the simple people,
yeah.
they understand that the help is something without any
yeah.
interest.
Do they ask you in disbelief as to, you know, why would you sacrifice your life and why would you come to do something for their peace?
You know, as I told you, we are human beings. We are not different from the other. We are not different from the one who are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Maybe we in our country we have a war and we fight our war in our country, and here we are peacekeepers.
Mm, mm.
this is very strange. This is something it's the situation on the ground who gives you the peacekeeper shape.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the situation
yeah.
on the ground. It's not the mentality you come from, because maybe in my country I'm fighting against my neighbor for a political, or I'm fighting in the roads against the terrorist.
Yeah.
And I become a peacekeeper with my heart open to the others. It's the situation of the moment.
Yeah.
But of course it's also the fact that the local population loves us. So it's not difficult to love them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because of course, if there is a situation of conflict between the local population, I don't know if I told you, I believe that the real peace could be maintained only from the local.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible for a foreign force, army force, or whatever, to really maintain the peace or the control of the territory
mm-hmm.
without the help of the local population.
Right, right.
So I think that UNIFIL is, I personally, it's my personal property, UNIFIL can help
mm-hmm.
the local government. As it is written in the Resolution 425, that we have to help the government, the Lebanese government, in restoring the peace and the control of the territory. This is the 425
yeah.
Resolution. Which
yeah.
I think this is sufficient for our mandate.
In your opinion, has UNIFIL has not been able to actually carry out some aspects of the mandate, you know, 425, 426. What has been the significant contribution of UNIFIL? And has it contributed to the peace?
Well, we have to ask ourselves, what if UNIFIL was not here, what could have happened without the presence?
Yeah.
You know, it's I am from NATO, and NATO, North Atlantic
Theater. Oh, well, NATO. So well, yeah,
NATO,
was it
NATO? NATO, 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 sorry for the accent.
Yeah. Yeah,
Italian
yeah.
accent.
Yeah.
But we consider NATO provide 50 years of peace. We cannot ask what was the needed of NATO.
Yeah.
But we have to ask ourselves, without NATO, what could have happened in the ground?
Yeah.
Without maybe the massacre of Cana could have been daily massacre of Cana, Tibnin, Marsayun. We don't know what could have happened without NATO.
Okay.
We know what that population is increasing day by day.
Mm-hmm.
They feel safe under the blue flag of the United
yeah.
Nations.
By population, you mean that the people are returning back to the area, not just giving birth.
No, maybe even new people are coming.
Okay.
Maybe there are also investment in the area from other countries that before they mm-hmm. didn't have investment because the situation was not so clear.
Yeah.
So it's. This is what I think and about the UNIFIL. UNIFIL is important because it's on the ground.
Right.
Without UNIFIL, we don't know what could have happened.
Right. One of the things that the Timor was saying to me also was that when it's time for the villagers to harvest things out in the field, that the UN troops will go out with them and provide security for them while they're out in the fields harvesting their various different crops, that because they would be afraid to go out in the fields and be, you know, vulnerable.
This is we give. They feel protected by UNIFIL. They feel they consider the UNIFIL as their only help they can have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Lebanese government cannot enter inside that area. And of course, the other day, we cannot. UNIFIL is the only help, the real, not only speech or mm-hmm. the real help they can have. So we provide security and safety for them.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes we cannot succeed in our mission. Because it's, you know, without the political willingness, you cannot succeed in a peacekeeping mission.
Yeah.
It's the basics.
Yeah, yeah.
There should be the need, the willingness of the both parts to have peace, to be maintained.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So peacekeeping is the word.
But having the visibility of the UN trucks or the flag, does that provide a certain kind of deterrence?
Of course, deterrence against the, and also the fact that there are people observing day and night what's happening on the area that can avoid retaliation against the population, the local
mm-hmm.
population.
Mm-hmm.
They know that every time we have witness looking at them, what are they doing at local population.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to just ask you if you could just give a general description of the entire UN system here in Lebanon, because it's very vast, actually.
Yes. We have almost 15 agencies, different agencies in Beirut working for the United Nations. We have UNDP, we have ALLOB, which is another military mission in Lebanon. It's an observer group in Lebanon. We have also ESQA. We have UNHCR, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
Yeah.
UNIC, United Nations Information Center. Okay. UNICEF.
Yeah.
UNIFEM for the women.
And
WFP, World Food Program. FAO and so 15 different agencies. UNIFIL is the only military
that's mission. That's the only military
mission, and we have.
And then who coordinates the non-military aspects of it?
There's the UNDP coordinator. Okay. The name is Mr. Ross Mountain, who is in the same building.
Yeah. Downstairs.
Okay. He is the coordinator of all the UN activity in the area.
Okay. Okay.
And of course, I attend the meeting just to give him. We are, of course, you can consider we are not. We have coordination with this mission, but we are not involved. We are a separate one.
Okay.
But usually I attend all the meetings or the coordination
okay.
meeting.
Okay.
I will attend the next meeting would be just maybe tomorrow to prepare the visit of our Secretary General. So
okay.
We coordinate together the activities.
Okay.
But he coordinates the civilian activity. Yeah,
that's excellent. And you've given me a report that's called the United Nations System in Lebanon. So
yes.
we will make this available in the library.
So yeah. You have all the details and the general situation in Lebanon. It's very interesting. We have a lot of activity. Or the United are very well and very much involved in the political and economical and social. And you know even the problem of the Palestinian. There is UNRWA. Which is in charge for the problem of the Palestinian
refugees.
And so we cover all the aspects of the life here in Lebanon.
In Lebanon. Now, I noticed when I was in South Lebanon yesterday that there are a number of Lebanese that are actually employed by UNIFIL that work as mechanics and engineers. And even gardeners and things like that. What role do they play? I mean, is it less expensive for UNIFIL to hire local people rather than to bring all of those people in?
It's a very nice question because they, as you know, due to the reduction of the budget. As I told you before, there were a lot of people, not a lot, some people were fired by the United Nations. In a moment of the economical crisis in Lebanon after 17, 18 years of war, and of course they are much cheaper than the international staff, and they are very well educated. Because 90% of the people, the Lebanese, they are educated in the European and American universities. They have high degree, high level of education.
Mm-hmm.
But we use the international staff, which cost to United Nations much more than the local one.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have to fire people, we fire the local staff. Which cost the fifth part of the. So, this is the. But they are very well integrated in our system. They work very. Now there is an organization, ESQA, which is hiring a lot of Lebanese employees. It's good.
To a certain extent, conversations down there, they were telling to me that it not only provided services for UNIFIL, they do a good job of mechanics and everything, but the other thing is that it offers employment for these people.
Oh, yes, this is also important.
And it was important because if they weren't employed, then they would need to seek some kind of income which might lead them to being seeking some kind of income through insurgency groups.
Of course, we if you consider the 15 mission, we have almost UNIFIL. I don't want to be imprecise, but should be almost 400-500 the local employees,
yeah.
The local staff.
Yeah.
Then you have ESQA, which is hiring almost more than 1,000 or so. We have a lot of people which are working, who are working for the United Nations system in general. And this is very important in an economy which is coming out of a very disastrous war, very bad war.
So,
if you consider that 2,000 people, I think that's the average number of local staff employed by UN mission. 2,000 people, it's a big, a good number. It's maybe there are more. I don't know. I'm telling you 2,000. Maybe there are more.
Yeah.
I think more than 2,000.
Yeah,
3,000, 4,000.
So also, you know, for example, speaking from your experience in the Italian contingency, which is the air
support.
did you hire or do you hire local mechanics and so forth? Okay.
We not for the helicopter, of course, but for our necessity inside. Barman is an Italian employee. He works for the Italian. So. Other are hired for Italian from UNIFIL. That UNIFIL employee assigned to Italian. But we have our own, some other country may have the cook, for instance, not UNIFIL, but French contingent employee.
Okay. What I was wondering is, does UNIFIL provide some kind of training for specialized skills as you know, mechanics or engineers or something like that, like training on the job?
Yes, as I told you, the level of the scholarization here is very high. You have a lot of people very well trained because they went out during the war, they studied in Europe or in the United States. So they have the university, Lebanese University, American University in Lebanon is one of the most important in the area. You have the French University, the British University, you have the Lebanese University. So the level of the scholarization is very high. So you can, it's not necessary to train the people. Maybe they can train the UNIFIL members.
Okay.
No, maybe I'm joking, but
they
have the level, the quality of the local staff is very high, considering people with the high level of education.
So in that case, that UNIFIL might be a fairly unique peacekeeping operation in some aspects.
UNIFIL, even though the names may say something different, UNIFIL is part of the south of Lebanon.
It's become a part.
We are part of Lebanon. We are Lebanese.
After 20 years.
Yes, after 20 years, you know, they cannot imagine the south. Maybe some Lebanese, they can believe that the blue flag is the Lebanese flag.
Right.
You know, it's really, I think that UNIFIL is an important mission in this area.
Well, actually, then that, I think, brings me to kind of a summary of our interview, is that looking back over the 20 years, you've been here toward the end of that period, but looking back, how would you summarize the role that UNIFIL has played here in Lebanon?
Of course, 20 years of presence, they have to mean something for the local and for the Lebanon in general. After 20 years, UNIFIL is still and much more loved by the population. So it means that was useful for Lebanon. Because we are not talking about the politicians and the speech they are doing. We are talking about the men on the road, the men on the... They love the UNIFIL peacekeepers. So this means that we are useful for them. This is the check. We have not from the politician, but from the humble. We know that they need our help. So this is why I think, I'm sure that UNIFIL has been important for the country. So this is what I summarize, I can summarize. People love UNIFIL because UNIFIL is important for them.
Yeah, yeah. Even though at times, from the UNIFIL point of view, it's been frustrating. There have been times when it's been really frustrating.
But I think that the mission of all the peacekeepers is frustrating. Because if there's war, it means that we failed in something.
Yeah.
But I think this is the failure of also, you can consider this also the failure of the United Nations. Because we cannot avoid all the war, but we can help the people to at least to maintain a certain level of life. Without descending on the quality of life, of course, is much better now than before the arrival of the UN peacekeepers.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's very, sometimes when you have war, it's very frustrating for the people who have to avoid the war, because they, their job should be to continue like a job, you know, and to continue towards the complete peace process has been complete, yes, complete. So I think that UNIFIL has this rule is important now as it was 20 years ago, and I think that now something, the public opinion I can see, even in Italy, it's much more interesting. We had the visit of the Italian president in Lebanon. It was the first after the first visit of the Italian president there. So last year there was the French, the Irish. So I think this, this is the most important.
The Irish defense minister is here now.
Today,
Kofi Annan comes on Friday.
Yeah.
So it's very high level now. Thank you.